Hey, listeners, quick note up top. We are starting a Patreon page for the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. New perks available for our patrons at any level at patreon.com/USA Quiz Show. More details at the second score break. Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that resets its own continuity every time things get a little too complicated. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and with me today are Chris Snake Eye Sims.
I am fully prepared to throw away a decade of friendship to win this.
Matt Flatfoot Wilson.
The case is murder. Yours. By trivia.
And Benito Chimney Diver Sereno.
My trivia skills will go on the nice list.
Big hello and welcome back to our Season 2 Battle of the Podcasts. We're in the second elimination match of the Physical Media Division with three special guests from the internet's most destructive comic book and pop culture podcast, War Rocket Ajax. Fellas, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for playing with us.
Pleasure to be here.
But before we get into it, I would be remiss if I did not introduce Scoremaster Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. You know, I know the Season 2 competition has been heating up, but I was still really surprised to see that David invited Master Blaster to be in the stadium with us today. That seemed like a little much.
Both of them?
They don't separate, Taylor. They are Master Blaster. I mean, why would I just have one?
That's fair. Thank you, Dan. And working the boards today, as per usual, is Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
My mind is all I have. I spent my whole life trying to fill it.
Well, we've got three rounds of trivia specially tailored for our guests today, but we're going to start it all off with a game of My Champion. That's the game where each of our contestants chooses a character or figure from pop culture to serve as their champion, and we choose the battle that they're fighting. Warwick at Ajax, Chris Sims, who is your champion today?
My champion is Batman from Detective Comics Comics.
Ah, of course. And author of Everything Will Be Okay, Matt D. Wilson, who have you chosen as your champion?
Spider-Man is my champion, and I will specify that that is Peter Parker, not any of the other various Spider-Men.
And Chris's co-host of the Apocrypals podcast, Benito Sereno, who are you championing today?
My champion, of course, Rexy Baby, Rex Mason, Metamorpho, the Element Man.
All right, all three champions are locked in. Our Scoremaster Dan will serve as the judge of your arguments. So let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who would be the best person to teach a Luddite how to use Zoom? Chris, why would Batman be good at teaching someone how to use Zoom?
Okay, so Batman has the basement at his parents' house where he goes to fight crime. He keeps his special car there. And also down in there, he has that giant computer that is shaped like his own head, which I would love to have one of those. And while he is out fighting his crimes, the person who uses that computer is Alfred, who is a million years old. And if he can teach Alfred how to use a giant supercomputer shaped like his own head, then he can teach anyone how to use Zoom.
Thank you, Chris. All right, Matt, how about Spider-Man?
Peter Parker, as I'm sure you know, spent some time as a New York public schools teacher. He has experience as a teacher. He is also very personable with the kids. He's a chatty fella. He knows how to get along with people. He's quick with a joke. He would not get frustrated teaching someone else Zoom. He's not grumpy like a certain man who wears a bat costume. And he's not made of chemicals like a certain Metamorpho. Thus, Peter Parker is who you want to be teaching you how to use Zoom.
And Benito, make that case for Metamorpho.
First of all, I think this scenario is unfair because I'm the only one who doesn't have a scientist as my person, but whatever. I'm going to assume that in this case, the Luddite in question is Simon Stagg's unfrozen caveman bodyguard, Java. And Metamorpho's got to teach him how to send unsolicited calls to Sapphire Stag. So Metamorpho, first of all, he would transform himself into a desktop computer, and he could also be a paraglider at the same time. So it would be extra fun. But then he could use his ability to transform to highlight the specific elements of the computer that needed to be touched, tapped, clicked, and so on, so that Java might be able to do terrible things over video call.
All right, solid arguments all around, but Dan is going to determine our winner. What do you think, Dan?
So I like that Spider-Man, of course, was a teacher. Most of us have tried to forget about the Straczynski run, but I'm glad that Matt is holding on to it. I would submit, however, I think Spider-Man is almost certainly a very bad teacher because he is bad at every job he has. I like the idea that Batman is taught Alfred to use a giant computer shaped like his head. And now I really want Chris to have a giant computer shaped like Chris Sims's head. And I feel like that would work. But honestly, the fact that Metamorpho can turn into an actual computer, I didn't know he could do that, but you know, that works. So I think we're going to have to give this one to Benito. I think Metamorpho is the winner.
Hey.
All right, Benito, you are today's My Champion winner, which means you'll not only go first in round one, but you'll get a crack at the half point. That half point is a little half a point added to your score that could break a tie before it even happens. Here is your half point question. Speaking of Zoom, what's the real name of the original Professor Zoom, the Reverse Flash?
Eobard Thawne.
Nice job, Benito. That gets you the half point, and you're going first in round one. Check your local listings and your math. The 90s and early 2000s were the heyday of hour-long syndicated action and sci-fi shows that would play on secondary channels at 2 in the afternoon on weekends. In this game, I'm going to give you the creative formula for one of these shows, and you have to name the show. So for instance, if the formula were Greek mythology plus lesbian subtext plus kung fu wirework, you'd know that the show was
Xena, Warrior Princess.
Xena, Warrior Princess. That answer in the game would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I can tell you something about the show that might jog your memory, but after that, the answer is only worth 5 points. Then for a follow-up, I'll ask you something else about the show for another 5 points. Benito, you're going to start us off in round one, and your first show formula is Futurama plus post-apocalyptic nonsense plus exotic dancers. Any familiar elements in there, Benito?
I might need a hint.
It's mostly remembered for being on in a block with the Action Pack shows.
All right. Okay, is it Cleopatra in space or whatever? Is that what it's called? Cleopatra 2222. Chris is so mad that I don't know this.
What's that title, Chris?
That's Cleopatra 2525. You were so close though. You were so close.
I want it to be known that I knew that one too, but I knew Chris couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
But Benito, you still get a follow up. Cleopatra 2525 was pushed to 45 minutes after this show was canceled.
Is that called Blackjack? No. All right.
That part of it in there. Matt, what's that show?
That was Jack of All Trades.
Oh, man.
All right. Coming over to Chris for your first formula. Dog the Bounty Hunter plus the A-Team plus a sweet mullet.
You talking about Renegade starring Lorenzo Lamas?
Renegade is correct. But Dom, the brother of this Roadhouse actor, has a short run as a bad guy on Renegade.
It's got to be Don Sweezy. Yeah? Okay.
The brother of this Roadhouse actor. But yes, oh, sorry.
Oh, it was Patrick Swayze.
Yes,
in Roadhouse.
Patrick Swayze. Absolutely correct. Over to Matt. You've got X-Files plus Lifeguards.
Is that Baywatch Nights?
It is. And for 5 more points, this Law and Order and Rizzoli and Isles actress was cast on Baywatch Nights after Hasselhoff saw her on an airplane.
I could see her face. I am blanking on her name, though. I'll have to pass on that one.
Actress there is Angie Harmon. Angie, yes. Harmon.
Yes.
Continuing our streak of Dan writing a question about Rizzolian Isles in as many episodes as he possibly can.
My mom would crush this show.
Taylor, I watched 105 episodes of that show. I'm going to get something out of it.
Was she Rizzoli or Isles?
She was Rizzoli.
Okay. Well, now I'll never forget it. Thank you.
Because she was the Italian one. That was the whole deal. Look, the show had Mark Wahlberg on and then made fun of his accent. It's not a bad show.
Oh.
Within us all, there is a Rizzoli and an Isles. Locked in battle.
All right, Benito, your next formula is Baywatch plus Knight Rider plus a problematic WWE star.
Man, first of all, I would like to point out that I knew the answer to both of the other ones. All right, let's see. Baywatch plus Knight Rider plus a problematic WWE star. That doesn't narrow down the WWE stars.
You can ask for a hint if you want it.
Yeah, give me a hint, please.
It's mostly remembered for a gag about Night Boat on The Simpsons.
Nope. Pass. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, man. All right.
I know this didn't throw Benito off, but he was at the time a WCW star.
Oh, that's
right. Which is why Thunder in Paradise aired after Monday Nitro on TNT. Right.
But Benito, see if you can tell me, the show was largely filmed at this theme park.
Universal Studios.
No, the other Orlando one at MGM Studios at Disney World. Now known as Hollywood Studios, but at the time, MGM. All right, Chris, it's live-action Disney minus Rick Moranis plus Peter Scolari.
Oh, geez. Wow, I could have... I want to point out that when you played the theme song, I wrote down, just so I'd remember, I wrote down Thunder in Paradise. I wrote down the names of the characters, which are Martin Brew Brubaker and RJ Hurricane Spencer. I wrote down Carol Alt, who played the love interest slash tertiary lead. I don't know this one at all. I'll take the hint.
It's mostly remembered for featuring work from horror impresario Stuart Gordon.
I have no idea. Everyone else seems to know.
All right, Benito, what's that show?
I think Matt waved first. If Matt wants to,
Benito,
take it.
You could. I already stole one. You could take one.
Okay. Well, it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah. It's the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show.
I didn't know there was a show.
Yeah. In the movie, the screenplay was written by Stuart Gordon, Reanimator from Beyond.
See, those are things you would know, but correct. I don't like scary movies.
Yep.
All right, Chris, you can still take a crack at this follow-up. Canonically, the show takes place before this installment of the film series.
Honey, I Blew Up the Baby.
Honey Blew Up the Kid is the title of it.
I guess Blew Up the Baby would be an oddly specific and horrifying title.
But weirdly, my mom always misidentified the movie the same way as Blew Up the Baby, so it's just something in the water.
I believe that was how it was widely marketed. Oh. As there was a big shot of a huge baby.
This is a huge baby.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, Matt. Smallville minus any semblance of a budget plus straight up Silver Age nonsense.
Straight up Silver Age nonsense. I know I'm going to know this. I'll take the hint, I suppose.
It's mostly remembered for using Lex Luthor's bonkers Silver Age origin, including a scream up to the heavens.
Wow. I feel terrible that I don't remember what this is. Yeah.
I think Chris knows this one.
Yeah, y'all are talking about Superboy, aka The Adventures of Superboy, which did feature Lex Luger as a cyborg. No, I'm sorry, Lex Luger was the new Superboy. Superboy turned into a cyborg in that episode. Excuse me, I did get that wrong.
All right, Matt, you still get a follow-up? Actor Barry Myers wore prosthetics and white face paint to play this villain.
Prosthetics and white face paint. Let's say Toy Man.
Benito?
It's got to be Bizarro, right?
Oh, yes, right.
Bizarro.
Yeah. And I would like to point out that on the show, Bizarro actually had his original Silver Age origin, where there was just a duplicating Ray from next door that accidentally hit Superboy, and it was real bad, yo.
Benito, next one's for you. It's Conan plus ferrets.
Is this Beastmaster?
Beastmaster, the series, yes. The most memorable guest star on Beastmaster was this Jamaican singer and actress from A View to a Kill.
Is it Grace Jones? Grace Jones, Jamaican? Hey.
Yes, Grace Jones. Chris, Highlander minus Adrian Paul plus a crime procedural story engine.
Okay, I feel like my last question, I didn't go with the obvious answer. But I feel like this time, as someone who did call and get the sword catalog, I can go with Highlander the series.
Now, the answer we're looking for there is Highlander : The Raven. The Raven part in that subtitle is what we needed.
It did not...
It was a spinoff. Well,
there's a second Highlander series.
The spinoff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
See, I'm sorry, Chris, that's why it was minus Adrian Paul in that one. There's no Adrian Paul in the spinoff.
So, Matt, was it Adrian Paul and Cary Elwes that we hung out with in the green room at that con?
Yeah, Adrian Paul, they were watching sword fighting videos on Cary Elwes' phone.
Chris, the male lead of that show, Paul Johansson, went on to star in this Carolina-based teen drama.
Carolina-based teen drama? I mean... I feel like I should. Oh, jeez. Oh, wait, is it that one that's set in the Outer Banks that's on Netflix right now? Is it just called Outer Banks? No.
There is a show on Netflix now called Outer Banks, but the show we're looking for here is One Tree Hill. Classic of the WB.
You know, if you go out to the place where they film that, like, they still have, like over the streets, they have banners talking about how One Tree Hill was filmed here. It's over by the Pepsi bottling plant.
That might be the saddest thing I've heard today, to be honest.
Poor town. Matt, your next formula is early Smallville minus ties to any other DC characters plus Jerry O'Connell.
Boy, you're really hammering me on the, like, early DC Comics syndicated shows, live action shows, which I'm not the most up on, because when I think of Jerry O'Connell, I think Sliders, and this isn't Sliders. What's a hint? Give me a hint.
Mostly remembered for the frequent use of Toronto landmarks and the hero's inexplicable powers.
Hero's inexplicable powers. I don't know. I'll say Shazam.
Name of that show is My Secret Identity.
Boy, would have never known.
Wow.
But you still get this follow-up. Jerry O'Connell is better known as the lead of this dimension-hopping series.
Sliders! Yay!
There's Sliders. On that big note for Matt, let's get a score update from Dan.
At this point, the game literally could not be closer. Both Chris and Matt have 15 points. Benito is in the lead with 15 points and the half point. There's still plenty of game left to go, though.
All right, getting back into it with Benito. Your formula is Deep Space Nine minus Wormhole plus J. Michael Straczynski.
Babylon 5.
Correct. And this Star Trek alum played a cop named after Alfred Bester.
I have never seen 1 second of Babylon 5. William Shatner.
Walter Koenig. Koenig. Chekhov himself on Babylon 5. Over to Chris. You've got The Shadow minus Orson Welles plus Jazz plus The Ultraverse.
Oh, that's Nightman.
That is Nightman. Now, this creator of Nightman, best known for a classic run on Detective Comics, wrote several episodes of the show.
Who created Nightman? Nightman. Alan Grant.
Steve Englehart.
I was going to guess
Englehart.
Oh,
that's right. I can never keep the Ultraverse creator straight, except for Barry Windsor Smith's Rune.
All right, Matt, you've got Point Break minus Swayze plus Rick Springfield.
Yowie wowie. let's get a hint for this one.
It's mostly remembered for having lots of guest spots from other New Zealand filming shows and having lots of people in skimpy swimsuits.
Pacific Blue?
High Tide.
Okay.
Is the answer. High Tide.
Pacific Blue, I think, was the show where they were bike cops.
Yep.
It was indeed.
But on High Tide, Matt, this actress, best known for a different syndicated show shot nearby, played an undercover cop.
Pamela Anderson.
Calling back to our example, that is Lucy Lawless on High Tide as an undercover cop.
Okay.
Everyone's final formula coming into it with Benito. You've got V plus Gene Roddenberry.
All right. So some kind of alien invasion show. Gene Roddenberry. Whew, I don't know. I need a hint.
It's mostly remembered as the show that had to change its name as to not be confused with Battlefield Earth.
Battleground Earth.
That show is called Earth : Final Conflict.
Okay, never seen it.
But keeping on Roddenberry track, this original voice of the computer on Star Trek has an on-screen role.
Nope. Do not know. Yeah.
Matt, you can take this one.
Major Barrett.
Yes, Major Barrett. Chris, your final formula is The Phantom plus Manimal plus Gina Lee Nolan.
Yeah, wow. The quickness with which I got Nightman. Wait a second. Is this Mantis?
Matt?
That's Sheena.
Sheena is correct. But back to Chris for the follow-up. The series leads, Gina Lee Nolan and John Allen Nelson, previously worked together on this popular syndicated show.
I mean, Gina Lee Nolan was on Baywatch, so I'm going to say Baywatch.
Yes, Baywatch. And Matt, your final formula. The X-Men minus anything that would make it legally actionable on the part of Fox.
Right. The thing is, there are several versions of that. Give me a hint so I know a little more of what it is.
It's mostly confused with a 2000s era Marvel comic of the same name starring Havoc in an alternate universe.
All right, is that Mutant X? Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it might be Inhumans for a second.
This Israeli producer of many Marvel films is the credited creator of the show, Mutant X.
Avi Arad.
A strong finish for Matt. That'll close out round one. Coming up next is round two of Pop Culture Trivia after a score break from Dan.
After one round of play, it's time for the Teaching from Home score break. Teaching from home, the one time you want the children to just sit and stare at a screen all day. After one full round of play, the scores are still very tight. Chris is in the lead with 30 points, Benito's got 25 points and the half point, and Matt is trailing with just 25 points. But that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Thank you, Scoremaster Dan. Still plenty of game to go and a little extra help for Matt. It's the Threequalizer. Matt, you're going to get a quick chance to make up some ground with our Threequalizer question. I'll give you a question that has exactly three answers, and you'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points to you for each answer you match. Your question is, while the short-lived sci-fi show Krypton was mostly about Adam Strange, it had a number of DC characters show up. Aside from standard Kryptonians like the Zods, it features three characters who have had notable clashes with Superman in comics and in movies. Who are they?
One I know is the main man Lobo.
Two more guesses?
I'm also fairly sure Brainiac is on that show. And the third one, you already said Zod, so he's not included. Let's say Parasite.
Not quite. Doomsday was that third Doomsday villain you were looking for.
That's, I think I knew that. I just couldn't remember. I try to block out Doomsday as much as I can.
Let's get to know our players a little bit better by learning a bit more about their tastes in pop culture. Chris Sims, if you were to write a novelization of a movie, what movie would you adapt?
My pick for that would be Megaforce, which is a live-action film from the 80s that was directed by Hal Needham, who you might know from The Cannonball Run and The Cannonball Run 2 and Hooper. And it's basically G.I. Joe, but super dumb. And it has a flying motorcycle, and I feel like I could crush that.
Lovely. And Matt, you have an idea for a video game adaptation of Better Call Saul. What's your premise? What's your take?
Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with the video game company Telltale Games. They went out of business for a while. I think they're coming back, but they had a great system by which you could just choose dialogue, and your dialogue choices would affect where the game would go. And I think if you mashed up that sort of storytelling for kind of the out-of-courtroom parts and then did basically Phoenix Wright in the courtroom, you could have an amazing video game version of Better Call Saul.
That's really smart, actually, Matt. That's really good. I love that.
And Benito, you're a big fan of the album Lincoln by They Might Be Giants. What do you love about it?
Well, people who listen to my podcast, ApocryPals, know that up into my teen years, I was primarily listening to Christian rock. And then when I was in high school, a friend of mine gave me a cassette copy of Lincoln, and suddenly my mind was blown. The first song on the tape, Anna Ng, still one of my all-time favorite songs. But, you know, the idea of like catchy pop melodies with like darker themes, and the idea that lyrics could be not necessarily about Jesus, but could be things like the yellow Roosevelt Avenue leaf overturned. That could be a line in a song. What does it mean? Nothing. But it's really catchy and cool and clever, which you really appreciate when you're 15 years old.
Awesome, Benito. Thank you. And that'll take us right into round two, entitled Super Zero Movies. We're in a pretty good place for comic book-based superhero movies right now, but in the face of a lot of very good movies, let's not forget about the worst comic book superhero movies. In this game, I'm going to describe one of the worst comic book-based superhero movies ever made, according to IMDb ratings anyway, and I give you a chance to guess the movie. To make it a little easier, we've taken out anything that was direct-to-video or only had a symbolic theatrical run in the US, leaving us with the worst ones that people might have actually seen in theaters. So if I told you that this movie was from 1997, and while it wasn't much like the comics of the time, it borrowed a villain from a contemporary animated version, and the aesthetics of a 60s version, and the rubber nipples from who knows where, you'd know that I was talking about the movie...
Batman and Robin. Which is good, actually.
Fighting words. No, I agree. It's great. But that would get you 30 points in the game. If you need more information, I can tell you about some of the actors from the movie and who created the characters in the original comics, but we'll knock off 10 points for each hint you ask for. You only get one guess, though, so use it well. Matt, your first movie comes from 1984. The plot is bad, but not too far from the Silver Age comics it seems to be drawing from, and they even included one of comics' greatest non-superpowered villains. Anything familiar in there from 84?
The problem is, I think it could be several things, so I might need that first actor hint.
Featuring Faye Dunaway and Mia Farrow.
Is that the Supergirl adaptation?
Supergirl, yes, for 20 points for that character created by Otto Binder and Al Plastino.
Yeah, the Supergirl movie has, of course, comics' greatest non-powered villain, the worst person in comics, Lucy Lane, Lois Lane's awful sister. The wretched Lucy.
Benito, your movie comes from 1986. While the bones of the story are from the comics, the movie is trying to play it straight rather than embrace the satire at the heart of the comic, so it really just doesn't work.
1986. Satirical. I don't know. I might need that next hint.
Starring Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins.
Oh, Howard the Duck.
For 20 points, Howard the Duck. Chris, from 2015. This is a tough one. They brought back Central City as a setting, so I guess that's something. And while the whole idea of a school and lab is from a recent-ish reboot attempt.
A school and a lab. But Central City, from 2015. Jeepers. That's weirdly, I feel like I should know this one, but that's not ringing a bell for me. Can I get a hint on that?
Starring Kate Mara and Jamie Bell.
Does that ring a bell?
I know, I know I've seen it, and I can't think of what it is. Give me one more hint.
With characters created by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee.
What? Matt, or sorry, I'm sorry. Like, Matt's my guess.
Yeah. Matt, you want to tell us?
That is the reboot of Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah, that I did not see.
Or Fant4Stick, as it was stylized on the posters.
Fant4Stick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Matt, back to you. From 2005, this film didn't really capture the madcap nature of the comics or the original movie. I guess the bit with the dog is a link to the original stories.
The bit with the dog. 2005. And it's a sequel. Let me get the actor hint.
Featuring Cal Penn and Alan Cumming.
I know several superhero movies with Alan Cumming in them. I don't know that this is one of them. Let's take the next hint.
A character created by John Arcudi, Chris Warner, and Doug Mankey.
Is that Son of the Mask?
Coming in at the end, Son of the Mask. Benito, from 1996. I mean, the setup of the main characters as both a bounty hunter and the owner of a bar is from the comics. Even the rest of the plot, though, is just a gender-swapped version of a much better movie.
Barbed wire. Hey!
And just for fun, what's the movie that it's gender-swapped in terms of its plot?
That one I don't know.
Casablanca.
Oh,
yes, Casablanca.
Wow. I never saw the barbed wire movie. I gotta say, I would not have known it was a Casablanca riff.
You said Central City on mine. If you would have said Steel Harbor, I would have been able to get that immediately.
Back in our Comics Alliance days, Chris and I did a lengthy review of Barbed Wire, the movie.
Far more consideration than one should ever give to barbed wire.
All right, Chris, from 1997. They were consciously distancing the character from another, more famous hero in the movie, but they kept some parts of the origin.
1997. Consciously distancing the main character from a more famous character in the movie.
But they kept some parts of the origin.
Huh. That's... I will need an actor, at least.
Featuring Richard Roundtree and Judd Nelson.
That's Steel.
Yes, Steel.
Yeah.
Matt, from 2004. Nothing aside from the name is the same as the character from the comics... So the origin is closer to Moon Knight than anyone else.
origin is closer to Moon Knight. Oh, I think I can get this one straight up. Catwoman.
Halle Berry's Catwoman for the full 30 points. Nice job, Matt.
The link to Moon Knight is that in the movie, she is killed and then resurrected by the Egyptian god in order to take her revenge, the exact same origin as Moon Knight.
It feels like a riff on the Batman Returns origin of Catwoman than anything else, I think.
Although I don't think in Batman Returns they actually had an explicit Egyptian god as the resurrecting.
No, cats just lick her back to life.
Anyone murdered by Christopher Walken is doomed to rise again.
All right, Benito, from 1987, the plot of this sequel has some weird similarities to a very well-known 1990s comic story, and while the movie is the worst of the series, the characters are generally pretty close to their comic versions.
All right. 1987, you said?
Yes.
But it's similar to a 1990s comic story. Okay. I have a guess, but I'll take the first hint.
Featuring Jackie Cooper and John Cryer.
Okay, so it's Superman 4. Yeah.
Yes, okay. The Quest for Peace. And that 90s story is referencing is the Death of Superman series that came a little bit later.
I'll never forget when Doomsday pounded him into the moon like a nail.
Chris, from 2012, the villain isn't too far from the comics version, and the movie introduces Danny, the main character's successor in the comics. Overall, it's got a similar Gonzo vibe to some recent runs on the character in the comics.
Give me one more, because I need to make sure on this one. Not the hint. I need the original question again.
From 2012, the villain isn't too far from the comics version, and the movie introduces Danny, the main character's successor in the comics. Overall, it's got a similar Gonzo vibe to the recent runs on the character in the comics.
All right, I'm going to say that's Ghost Rider Spirits of Vengeance. That's what I had to check on if it was the original or the Neville Dean and Taylor sequel,
which I also like kind of stick up for. I think their movies are silly and fun. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority on that one. It's no Batman and Robin. That's for sure.
I mean, definitely not.
And now that I've just made an ass of myself, let's go to a score break from Dan.
Three-fifths of the way through round two. Chris is behind with 80 points. Benito has 95 points and the half point. In the lead is Matt with 105 points. As always, there's still plenty of game left to go.
All right, Matt, see if you can hold on to that lead. Your next movie is from 1996. The original black and white comics are kind of inconsistent, amateurish, and violent, so this sequel, unlike the pretty good original movie, definitely picks up on that aspect.
Let me get some actors just to be sure.
Featuring Iggy Pop and Thomas Jane.
Okay, that wasn't necessarily where I thought that was going. I'll take one more hint.
A character created by James O'Barr.
That is the Crow, City of Angels.
For Benito, from 2010. The main character's very distinctive face is straight from the comics, but that's about it.
Hmm. 2010. Main character, distinctive face. 2010. All right, better get some actors.
Featuring John Malkovich and Megan Fox.
No, I better take the last hint.
A character created by John Albano and Tony DeZuniga.
I thought that clue would help. It did not. I do not know.
Chris?
That's Jonah Hex.
Ugh.
That's the movie where Jonah Hex can talk to dead people because his name is Hex, so he has magic powers, right?
Megan Fox has declared this to be the worst movie she's ever made. And that's really saying something.
She's not wrong.
Of all the movies we've discussed, I think that is the most forgotten. Does anyone remember that Jonah Hex movie?
Only me.
It did not exist until 30 seconds ago when we read it again for this question. We resurrected it.
The really sad thing is the opening credits to that movie are extremely good. Hmm. They're done as Eduardo Risso art.
Chris, next one for you. From 2005, while not seeming to get the main character at all, the movie brings in a number of well-regarded characters from the comics, some of whom would show up on a later TV series.
2005. There's a TV series that comes after. I thought I had it. I thought I had it for a second. Who's in it?
Featuring Goran Visnjic and Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp? Well, talking about the Limey and General Zod. Jeepers Christmas. Yeah, who created these characters then?
Frank Miller.
Okay. Frank Miller created these characters.
Character singular created by Frank Miller.
Character created by Frank Miller? What TV series was there? There's not a 300 series. There's not a Sin City series.
Matt?
Is that the Elektra movie?
And some of those characters would show up on the later Netflix Marvel series.
Yeah, quite obvious in retrospect.
Yeah, in particular, Terrence Stamp, of course, was Stick in the Elektra movie.
That's not bad casting.
All right, Matt, from 2008. They write stuff with letters and signs, which is one superficial connection, I suppose. It's definitely made to look like a comic, but not the original ones featuring the character.
They write stuff in signs.
They write stuff with letters in signs.
This feels like a riddle. let me get some actors.
Featuring Samuel L. Jackson and Eva Mendez.
They write stuff with letters in signs. It's got Samuel L. Jackson. Can I hear the whole original question again?
From 2008, they write stuff with letters in signs, which is one superficial connection, I suppose. It's definitely made to look like a comic, but not the original ones featuring the character.
All right, let me get the last hint.
Character created by Will Eisner.
The Spirit.
For 10 points.
I was 100% sure I was going to get that one in this round.
Benito from 1993. The MacGuffin that gets the plot moving is from the comics, but that's really about it. The original comics are much darker, but the most popular comics in the franchise coming out around this time had a reasonably similar tone.
What was the year again? 93?
1993.
Okay. I'm gonna risk the 30. No, I'm not. Give me the actor clue, please.
Featuring Paige Turco and Elias Koteas.
Okay. Man, Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of Views. Oh, Ninja Turtles 3.
So close. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time, where they go back to feudal Japan.
Yeah.
And Chris, from 1989, the monsters that the evil scientist creates are kind of like the ones from the comics, but even Mark Russell didn't do this character as a comedy.
Okay, so monsters. 1989. And it's something that Mark Russell's worked on. But not as a comedy, which means it's not the Flintstones comic, which includes the line, "We participated in genocide, Barney."
Make sure a link to that goes in the show notes. I want more information about this Flintstones.
Oh, you
got to
read that run, Taylor.
Read the entire Flintstones comic.
The Flintstones comic is amazing. Yeah. Let me have an actor, please.
Featuring Dick Durack and Heather Locklear.
Oh, you talking about? Okay. Heather Locklear, that's Swamp Thing 2.
Dan?
I think we can give it to him on Swamp Thing 2. Yeah.
Return of Swamp Thing.
There you go.
Return of Swamp
Thing. Return of the Swamp Thing. And that'll wrap up round two. Up next, one more score break from Dan and on to our final round of pop culture trivia. Hey, Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show listeners. Your host, Taylor, here with a special announcement about the future of our show. Creating this weekly pop culture trivia program has been super enjoyable and rewarding for Dave, Dan, and me, but that comes with a lot of work and resources put into it. So to offset those costs, while also getting a chance to try some new trivia formats and new opportunities for listeners, we are starting a Patreon page with special bonus perks for our subscribing listeners.
We have lots of perks that we're excited to share with our listeners. Depending on which tier you're at, you'll get some or all of them. Patrons at all levels will get ad-free episodes. And some supporters will have the ability to make suggestions that we will use on the show, including score break naming rights, lightning round topics, titles, and other little things that can put your mark on our show.
You'll also get access to exclusive Patreon content, such as empty studio episodes that'll allow you to play along at home, and access to participate in live events, such as group game nights.
And our big stretch goal perk, it is the Golden Ticket episode, a full bonus episode for all our Patreon supporters to listen to. And if you're at the tip-top level, you'll be eligible to play in the Golden Ticket episode.
Find out all the details about our new Patreon at patreon.com/USAQuizShow. You can also find that link in your show notes to get all the details. We love bringing the show to you every week, and we hope to be able to bring you even more of it, while you can also help us keep the lights on. Before we get to our final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode drops, and you could win fabulous non-prizes like Scorebreak naming rights. Dan?
I'm best known for posing queries, but I was all over, even played Jack Cheese. On genre shows, I took my turns, and later came to Broadway as Burns.
Think you know what that's about? Find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com or check the link in your show notes and show off your knowledge. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Absolutely. After two rounds of play, it's time for the Venture Brothers Memorial Score Break. On the air for 17 years, but gone too soon. Go Team Venture! Right now, Matt is in the lead with 125 points. Chris has 100, and Benito has 95 points and the half point. He'll go first in round three, and he'll need to get three questions correct in order to move into the lead.
Thank you, Dan. Those standings, however, are not yet set in stone. It's time for everyone's last opportunity to score big. It's the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are street smarts, book smarts, taking license, and get a load of these bozos. Now, while the names of those topics are a little bit mysterious, try your best to choose something you'll do well on, or perhaps try to keep something easy from a fellow player. Benito, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are street smarts, book smarts, taking license, and get a load of these bozos.
I gotta stay true to myself. I gotta pick book smarts.
Book smarts. Now, what do you think these actual trivia questions are going to be about, Benito?
I assume not books.
Well, you're not too far off. People who are book smart are scholars. So about scholars and professors in the world of pop culture.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Time begins when I finish reading the first question. Benito, are you ready?
Ready.
This Viennese Disney character is Donald Duck's uncle.
Ludwig von Drake.
While in college, this Marvel character built a porter to hell to rescue his mother.
Victor Von Doom.
She played archaeology professor Sydney Fox on the 90s series Relic Hunter.
Pass.
He gives players their first Pokemon in the original Red and Blue games.
Professor Oak?
On Friends, Ross Geller is a professor of this.
Paleontology.
This Dutch polymath was played by Edward Van Sloan in 1931's Dracula.
Van Helsing.
Annalise Keating is a law professor on this ABC legal drama.
How to Get Away with Murder.
This 19th century Napoleon of crime is a former professor of mathematics.
Moriarty.
Professor Brainerd, played by Fred McMurray and Robin Williams, invents this substance.
Flubber.
Dan Brown created this Harvard symbologist for angels and demons.
Harvard symbologist Robert Langdon.
In his civilian life, this Japanese Super Friends character is a history professor.
Samurai.
In Harry Potter, she is a professor of transfiguration and the head of Gryffindor House. Minerva McGonagall, looking for there. All right, Dan, give us the Benito report.
Benito had a fantastic round. He skipped just one question, certainly the most lowbrow question we asked in that round. It was Tia Carreri, who was archaeology professor Sydney Fox on Relic Hunter, which is legally distinct from Tomb Raider. Make sure to note that. Still, Benito got 10 correct answers. That's one of the best round threes we've ever had. He now has 195 points and the half point. That means Chris is going to need to match him. He's going to need to get 10 correct answers if he wants to put himself into the lead.
Didn't need to throw that threshold on me. It's already a horrifying round to watch. Ludwig von Drake?
Did you think I was going to miss a Disney duck question, Chris?
I didn't think you were going to miss it. I just didn't expect it, the first one to be like that, like lobbed directly to you.
All right, Chris, you have three options remaining. They are Street Smarts, Taking License, and Get a Load of These Bozos.
Well, if people listen to Apocrypals, they'll know that that Benito has the book smarts because he's a scholar. And I would take the one with the name of a clown, but instead I'm going to take the Street Smarts because that's how I like to think of myself on the show.
So you're not going for clowns. What do you think this Street Smarts category is going to be about?
I hope it's fictional addresses, because I'm very good at those.
You're not too far off. It's going to be about fictional detectives. Pop culture detectives.
Oh,
sorry, Matt.
Sorry, Matt. Oh, gosh.
Chris, 90 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Yes.
In DC Comics, this simian detective is a member of the Shadow Pact and Justice League Dark.
Detective Chimp.
This mystical Chicago-based detective was featured in a short-lived Sci-Fi Channel TV show.
Harry Dresden.
Sam Spade was created by Dashiell Hammett for this novel and later movie.
The Maltese Falcon.
This Agatha Christie detective is Belgian, not French.
Poirot.
This Douglas Adams character was tasked with finding Schrodinger's cat.
Dirk Gently.
This Brian Bendis creation eventually married Luke Cage.
Jessica Jones.
On Monty Python's Flying Circus, Arthur Lemming is a special investigator for this group.
Pass.
She starred as Maddie Hayes on Moonlighting.
Sybil Shepherd.
Jay Hernandez took over the role of Thomas Magnum from him.
Tom Selleck.
She played Neptune, California detective Veronica Mars.
Kristen Bell.
This struggling L.A. detective drove a 1974 Pontiac Firebird Esprit on NBC.
Jim Rockford.
Samuel L. Jackson headed revivals of this 70s detective franchise.
Shaft.
This Marvel Comics detective premiered in a self-titled 1986 series.
Pass.
Sean Spencer was a fake psychic on this USA show.
Psych.
Nikki Spillane created this misanthropic detective for the novel I, the Jury.
Mike Hammer.
Kathleen Turner plays this literary detective in a 1991 flop. That would be V.I. Warshawski. Still a strong round for Chris. Dan, give us the Chris report.
I think Matt has something he wants to say before I give the Chris report.
I would love to answer the Monty Python question.
Go ahead.
He was Lemming of the BDA. Lemming of the BD, Lemming of the BD, BD, BDA.
Which stands for?
The British Dental Association.
Chris had a fantastic round. He only had two skips, the Lemming of the BDA question, and of course the Marvel Comics detective who premiered in a self-titled 1986 series was Dakota North.
Oh.
Okay. I think about 2% of all the people on podcasting would get that, and I would have thought Chris would have been one of that 2%. So I'm just going to go to bed disillusioned tonight. Still, Chris got 13 questions correct. That is tied for our record in round three. That means he has a total of 230 points. Matt, in order to take the lead and win the game, is going to need to get 11 questions correct in his round. A tall order for anyone.
No pressure.
All right, Matt, street smarts and book smarts are gone. Your remaining choices are taking license and get a load of these bozos.
I mean, obviously, I want the clowns.
Well, you're absolutely correct. We got a category about pop culture clowns. 90 seconds on the clock. Matt, are you ready?
Yes.
Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope make up this musical act.
The Insane Clown Posse.
This demonic presence has been played by Tim Curry and Bill Skarsgård.
Pennywise.
TV weatherman Willard Scott got his start as this spokes clown.
Ronald McDonald.
Twisty the Clown terrorized characters on the fourth season of this anthology show.
The Twilight Zone.
American Horror Story. Originally, Homer Simpson was supposed to have secretly been this clown.
Krusty.
Firefighter clowns trap a baby elephant in a burning building in this children's classic.
Pass.
This California Girls performer dresses up as a clown in her video for her 2013 song, Birthday.
Katy Perry.
In a 2019 movie, this murder clown points out that we live in a society.
Joker.
Kefka Palazzo menaces Edgar, Terra, and others in the sixth game of this RPG franchise.
Final Fantasy.
This 1988 horror comedy cult classic featured murderous alien clowns.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
In Spawn, he plays a demon who disguises himself as a clown.
Violator, John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo. Sweet Tooth the Clown drives an ice cream truck in this series of racing combat games.
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal right there at the buzzer. All right, Dan, give us the Matt report.
Matt had only one skip question. Firefighter clowns trap a baby elephant in a burning building. Well, that's got to be Dumbo, the heartwarming children's classic.
Yeah.
Matt had a fantastic round. So our final standings for the game are going to be Benito with 195 points and the half point. Matt, who got 9 correct, giving a total of 215 points, normally enough to win it, but today the victory has to go to Chris Sims, who comes out with 230 points and the win.
Good job, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah. I do want to say, I do like that Benito just got tossed that question about an obscure Disney doc, and I got the one about Jim Rockford, and Matt got the one about Matt, would you say it's your favorite movie? Is Joker 2019? The most quotable, for sure.
I would say it's very quotable, yeah.
See, Chris, what you're missing is that the fourth category, the one no one picked, was the one that I think would have been easiest for you. Taking License was about Marvel licensed comics, and your answers include things like Rom and Godzilla.
Wow. If I had thought about who played Violator in Spawn instead of the character Violator from Spawn, I got tripped up.
Still, awesome lightning rounds all around. One of the best just consistent sets of three we've ever seen. So, awesome job. Big congratulations to Chris. But that does mean we have to say goodbye to Benito and Matt. Guys, this was such a great game. Loved all the trivia nuggets you threw in throughout. It was really a pleasure. Benito, anything to plug? Where can we find you in the world?
Oh, man. Probably the best place for most people to find me is on the podcast I do with Chris Sims, Apocryph Pals. It is a bi-weekly podcast where we read through the Bible and Bible-adjacent material, and we try not to be jerks about it, even though we think they are primarily about wizard battles and talking animals and such. You can find us on wherever podcasts are sold for free.
And Matt, where can we find you?
You can find links to everything I do at mattdwilson.net. I created this website so that I don't have to list off a bunch of stuff at the end of every episode of every podcast. But you'll find links there to where I am on social media, on Twitter. You'll also find links to my books, which include The Supervillain Handbook, The Supervillain Field Manual, and Supreme Villainy, my series of books about the greatest supervillain of all time, King Oblivion PhD, and my comics, which include Copernicus Jones Robot Detective, which is on Comixology, and Everything Will Be Okay, my new graphic novel from Caliber Comics, which is available digitally now and will be out in comic shops on November 25th.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt. But again, congratulations to Chris. Chris, you're going to be moving on to the Physical Media Division Finals to carry the banner for Team War Rocket Ajax throughout the season. The competition's going to heat up in the playoffs, so what are you going to be watching or reading to get yourself prepared?
I'm probably just going to continue having misspent the first 38 years of my life, which is the kind of preparation money can't buy.
Absolutely. And anything to plug, Chris?
Yeah, you can find all my stuff if you go to the-isb.com. That's it used to be my old comics blog from back in the mid-2000s. But if you go there, there will be links to comic books that I've written, podcasts that I do, such as War Rocket Ajax, Movie Fighters, and Snack Situation with Matt Wilson, and Pocket Pals with Benito Serino. There's others. I do a lot of them. I would like to sleep at some point.
Well, folks, you can also follow Chris as the die emoji as he soldiers on through the season bracket. That'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week as we make our way back to the Hired Goons division, featuring David Roth, Luis Paez Pumar, and Dan McQuaid from Defector. Promises to be a great game. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Remember Dan's riddle from before round three? If you think you know the answer, check that link in your show notes to our website at usaquizshow.com. While you're there, find show notes, past season brackets, and growing archive of episodes.
You can always find us on Instagram and Twitter at @USAQuizShow. Why doom scroll when you can just come over and interact with us?
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is made with love by Taylor Cole, our host, Dan Cassino, our quizmaster, and yours truly, producer, David Teagle.
Remember to hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
We participated in genocide, Barney.